It's time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports 56 Mornings, the Friday, May 15th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm. It's been a tough week. It's been a trying week. Certainly, the Brandon Clark news was shocking to everybody, but we soldier on. Lots to talk about. Big show lined up for you today as we welcome you in. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, it's where family and fun come together. They got the Memorial Day sale going on right now as they get you set for the summer. Check it out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 62. It's going to get up to 88 today. Breezy this morning, otherwise mainly cloudy. And very warm. The weekend looks to be delightful. High temperature tomorrow, 86, then 89 on Sunday, but plenty of sunshine as well. Hour number one brought to you each and every day by Old Dominic Distillery. 305 South Front Street, downtown Memphis. 150 years in the making. It started with the Canale family's arrival into Memphis all those years ago, but the revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. I hope you took advantage yesterday of their great happy hour at the Distillery Bar, 4 to 7 every Thursday, $7 cocktails made with signature spirits, $4 local beers. But if you missed it, go on out there tonight. If you got an event going on downtown, you're going to have dinner downtown, you're going to any kind of sporting event or concert or whatever the case may be, head on over to Old Dominic Distillery for maybe a pre-game cocktail or a nightcap to wrap up your evening. Pouring Memphis pride in every cocktail, Old Dominic Distillery. You can find out more about them online at olddominic.com. Come for the spirits, stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. Coming up on the program today, no NBA playoff games last night, but two tonight. And will those series be extended, or will we have our final four teams for the NBA Conference Championships? We will discuss that on the program today. Also, the rumor mill already starting about possible trades involving the Grizzlies, perhaps with Ja Morant involved. We will discuss that. The NBA Combine continued with games with the players that were participating. There were a lot of players that weren't, but we'll tell you who those standouts were. The PGA Championship off and rolling just outside of Philadelphia, and 48 players at or within three shots of the lead as they get the second round underway. We got Memphis basketball news to get into as well. The Preakness will be taking place tomorrow. We will have our expert on to tell you about that race. We got a lot to get to here on the program, including college baseball news and the University of Memphis headed back to the conference tournament for the first time in several years. Our man John Varlas will join us at 7:25 to talk all things prep as the spring fling is approaching. As I mentioned, Ed DeRosa, our horse racing insider, on the Preakness at 8:05. We will not have Joe De Leon this week. He had some personal things to do, so we won't have Joe. He'll be back next Friday. 9:05, we'll play 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. 9:30, Kenny Mayne, the former ESPN personality, the colorful Kenny Mayne at 9:30. And we'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That is your lineup as we wrap up this week. How are you?
I am good.
Yeah, good night. Last night,
great night down at went down to Barbecue Fest. Weather was absolutely perfect. Saw a lot of folks out there. Great crowd on hand, and yeah, it was a good time.
Did you run into Goldberg?
I did not see Goldberg there last night.
Okay, tried like heck to get him on the show today, folks. Just I didn't know the right people. The Barbecue Fest, which I think is a great event, and we did a couple of remotes down there years ago, but really not my cup of tea. It was always the music fest for me, but it's great. It is going to be crazy over there at Liberty Park because you have the big EYBL event going on
And you'll have the Barbecue Fest that will continue the World Championship Barbecue Competition. But for all the folks in town that may be listening to us, welcome to our great city of Memphis. I had a rough night last night. I don't know if it was purely indigestion or, God forbid, something's wrong with my heart. But, man, it still hurts today. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best, man. It was a rough night last night. I usually sleep like a log. Jay Ham, how are you on this lovely Friday morning?
Glad it is Friday. I can say that.
Much. Long week, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, just ready to break. No game, NBA games last night gave me a chance to just unplug away from that. No games tomorrow as well. So one of those, even no WNBA games for me tomorrow. So no basketball involved at all.
What are you going to do?
I might just fire up some old wrestling. Watch some good old movies or something like that, but just cool out.
You'll find something to do, of course. Nothing new on the Brandon Clark investigation front. Nothing that we heard, at least publicly. So nothing to report on that. We did get the NBA announcing the two-minute report from the Cavs-Pistons game on Wednesday, the fifth game that went the way of the Cavaliers in overtime. And they said the no call at the end of regulation was the correct no call. So, JB Bickerstaff, even though you probably still disagree, nothing to get in arms about. Because, like I said yesterday, the two-minute report is stupid. And it's a good thing that they didn't say it should have been a foul called. Because, again, if you are Detroit, you go ballistic. Now, there was no guarantees that Thompson makes free throws because he's a horrible free throw shooter. But at least, according to the NBA, they agreed that no foul should have been called. They called it incidental contact. And either way, there's nothing you can do about it. Even if they said it should have been a foul, nothing you could do about it. Tonight, though, there's a lot that can be done. And for the Detroit Pistons, it's win or go home, as it is game number 6 in Cleveland. So after Detroit lost at home, they're going to have to figure out a way to win in Cleveland to force a game 7. And Cleveland has not lost at home in the playoffs so far. Cavaliers a 3.5-point favorite, Eli.
Yeah, obviously if you're them, you want to take care of business. Game 7s on the road are not generally that kind, but yeah, it's a great opportunity for them. And finally for Donovan Mitchell to get his opportunity to advance to a conference finals, which he has not done yet in his career. So we'll see if he can be really good tonight and give himself that opportunity.
Jay Ham, how can the Pistons even this series? Because Cleveland has pretty much said, Cade, you can go out and score 40. We're still going to beat you.
They got to find some offense other than Cade. You got to find somebody to be able to stretch the floor, help stretch the floor that's going to be able to get Jalen Duren space to be able to do what he needs to do because he can't create it for himself.
Spurs will be in Minnesota tonight, and they will advance to play Oklahoma City if they can get a win. If not, then they'll go back to San Antonio for Game 7. The Timberwolves at home, 5.5-point underdog to get the job done. Eli, can they get the job done?
They can. Whether they will or not, I don't know. You know, I don't. It's a tough task. But when you've got Anthony Edwards, if he can do one of his special performances, certainly they are capable of doing that. But as it would help a lot if for them, if maybe Wembe Yama elbowed somebody in the head and got kicked out of the game early. I don't know that that's gonna. I don't know that you could count on that to happen though.
Maybe he misses the starting time. Like Mr. Higo did. I think it's going to be tough for Minnesota. We already talked about Dante DiVincenzo. You're missing one of your weapons. Edwards still not 100%. So there is the possibility, Jay Ham, that both the Eastern Conference Championship Series and the Western Conference Championship Series begins on Sunday. We could have one. We could have both. We could have zero. What do you think will happen?
I don't think they will both start on Sunday. I think one will go to Monday.
You think they'll stagger them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to keep the TV going the way that it is. But
the question is, will both those other series end tonight?
I think one of them will. I think we'll get 7 from one of them. I'm thinking the one we're going to get 7 in is the West. I just feel like Minnesota can have one more. They got one more bullet to fire.
Okay.
You know, and hopefully they can get it done. But either way, great series. You know, I'm cool with it.
We'll talk later about all the rumors, and we're going to hear them for the next 5.5 weeks until the NBA draft takes place, unless some move is made. But the rumors, not only about the top four picks and maybe Washington, Utah switching places, swapping places, but also there's a lot of rumors now about Ja Morant and about other teams that have surfaced. These are just rumors. This isn't coming from agents or coming from the organizations themselves. But we will dive into that later on. In the meantime, the NBA Combine continued. Does it wrap up today, the Combine in Chicago? Do you know?
I don't know for sure exactly when it. I think it, I don't. I have no idea if yesterday was the last. I don't know for sure.
Well, they played games yesterday, and again, the guys expected to be in the lottery, picked in the top 10 and a little bit beyond, are not playing. They're not participating. So you got other guys, some projected to possibly go in the first round, later in the first round, some second rounders, others not even in mock drafts. So this is the chance during these scrimmage games to make a name for themselves. Not like it's the end-all, be-all, because you have all the teams that have all the tape of you and all your games you've ever played. But standouts yesterday, according to Jonathan Givony, who I assume was there in Chicago watching this, but I'll rattle off some names, and then you could jump in on anybody you want to comment about. But one of the showstoppers was Bobby Miller from Cincinnati. Trayvon Brazil, we know him from Arkansas. Jaden Bradley, the point guard from Arizona. Terrace Reed, the big from UConn. John Blackwell, Ryan Conwell, Dylan Mitchell. I think if your name's Dylan Mitchell, you're automatically an athlete. But anyway, these were some of the names that really stood out in the scrimmages. Anything that floats your boat? Anybody that you look at and go, yeah, he's a definite first rounder?
Obviously, some of those guys are still trying to make their decision of whether they're going to stay in the draft and or return to college. And so that's, you know, for them, if it now becomes really big decision time. Granted, it's a much easier decision than it used to be because you're going to get paid either way. But they've got a very big decision to make, some of those guys.
Yeah, this is when you acquire intel from teams, and I don't know if anybody's guaranteeing anything to players late in the first round or in the second round, but I think it gives you and your inner circle, your agent, whoever's representing you, a better understanding whether or not you'll be picked, and if you have a really good chance to be picked in the first round, by the reaction that you get from these games and from the interviews that you have with these teams. Because if not, what are you even there for? I mean, you have to gather intel to know whether or not to go back. All the players I mentioned, now some don't have any eligibility left, some do. And for those who have eligibility left, they know that they can do pretty well going back for a final year of college. But they're hoping, or they wouldn't be in this position, to get to the NBA now. But they're not going to force feed it like, unfortunately, players have done in the past that ended up not even getting drafted and then wondered where their next meal was coming from. These guys have a fallback, and a big fallback, that have college eligibility remaining.
Yeah, and already, most of them already have a lot of money in the bank from
true
what they've already earned in college.
Yeah. So we'll see, but some of these guys certainly making a name for themselves yesterday in the Combine games. I just think there is at least another day of that competition. In the meantime, teams continue to bring players in for individual workouts, and that includes the Grizzlies. We find out after the fact about maybe some of the players who are in with the Grizzlies, not through the Grizzlies themselves, not through the organization, but through those players or the players' agents, and it gets out there, that information that this guy was here, that guy was here. But again, what used to be something pretty simple for the local media, here's who's coming. We have these six players that will work out. Grizzlies, tight-lipped. I'm not sure if that's the case with all teams around the league, But with the Grizzlies, it certainly is. Yesterday was the announcement of the full NFL schedule, and every team had their own schedule reveal. And while the schedule coming out is no big deal, it's not a real big deal, the reveals, the videos that they put together, the thought process, the way they comprise these videos, I think they should be applauded. I don't know how many of these you guys looked at. I looked at a good number of them, not all of them, maybe 10, 12 of them I looked at. I looked at one this morning. The Minnesota Vikings one was fantastic. I love the Step Brothers, the playoff, the Step Brothers movie with Fernando Mendoza and Kirk Cousins in Las Vegas. I get a kick out of them. Eli, do you?
Can't say I really care about them.
You don't watch those videos at all?
No.
Wow. Jay Ham, how about you?
I have yet to take a look, but I'm cool with the presentation. I mean, they just created another product for entertainment.
Yes, that's exactly what they did. And a lot of effort put into it, some a little bit more than others, some more creative than others. I mean, the Titans is pretty simple, but it's always funny because they do the man on the street or the woman on the street, and they get the lookalikes, and sometimes it's a real reach who they think looks like somebody famous, but it's a good effort nevertheless. But there are some that they really put a big effort into it. But with that said, there are some standout games, as there always is. There's all those international games, which will start with the game in Australia, Melbourne, I think. Melbourne's where it will be. But the rematch of the Super Bowl, the Seahawks and the Patriots, is going to take place opening week, September 9th. The Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. This will be only the third time that the teams that played in the Super Bowl the year before played the next year, and only the second time it's happened on opening week. The only other time was in 2016 when the Broncos beat the Panthers after defeating them in Super Bowl 50 earlier in the year.
Yeah, that's cool that we get to see that Super Bowl rematch which again, this year's weird because the opening night will be on a Wednesday night, which very strange, but that'll be on a Wednesday night of the season opener, get the Super Bowl rematch. I'm sure Diana Rossini will be intently watching that
game.
So good for her, and hopefully Mike Vrabel's still coaching by then.
Do you know when the last time the season started on a Wednesday and what the reason was?
I have no idea.
It started on a Wednesday in 2012 to accommodate then-President Barack Obama's speech at the Democratic National Convention the following day. I don't remember it starting on a Wednesday, but obviously it did. Other highlights, Kenneth Walker, the pride of Arlington High School, the Memphian, the MVP of the Seahawks Super Bowl win, who joined the Chiefs in the offseason, will return to Seattle for a Sunday night football matchup October 25th. Malik Willis, the new starting quarterback for the Dolphins, set to visit his former team, the Packers, on December 20th. Fernando Mendoza, the number one pick in last month's NFL draft, could make his NFL debut in week one as the Raiders host Miami. However, more than likely, it'll be Kirk Cousins. There's all kinds of other interesting tidbits about some of these games for this upcoming season. As far as the strength of schedule is concerned, the easiest schedule belongs to the Cleveland Browns, followed by the New Orleans Saints, Cincinnati Bengals, Atlanta Falcons, and my Indianapolis Colts. The toughest schedule, the Chicago Bears. Second toughest, Miami Dolphins, then Arizona Cardinals, Green Bay Packers, and Kansas City Chiefs. I'm looking for your Cowboys. The Cowboys are pretty much, a little bit towards the easier schedule. Not so much right in the middle, but pretty close to being in the middle. But again, that's based on teams' records last year and teams' change. But the NFL season, right around the corner, NFL camps to open up sometime in mid to late July. They announced who the Hall of Fame teams are, I think, in the Hall of Fame game in Canton. I think the Arizona Cardinals, I'm doing this on memory, I forget who they're playing. The Arizona Cardinals is one of the teams in the Hall of Fame game. PGA Championship round two is underway. The first round, seven players at three under par, 48 players at or within three shots of the lead. One of those players tied for the lead, you may have heard of him, Scottie Scheffler. Another one, a Martin Kaymer sighting, Eli Savoy.
Yeah, Kaymer, very close to having the outright lead by himself, just missed the eagle putt on his last hole of the day that would have given him the outright lead. But, yeah, didn't, you know, that's quite a surprise to see him up there. It's still, like, unbelievable to me that this is the first time that Scottie Scheffler has led after the first round of a major. It makes that, like, that is... That's like the old Tiger Woods could never come from behind to win a major. Like you just feel like Scheffler's been in the lead constantly, but this is the first time he's ever been in the lead after the first round of a major. You know, he made a couple of massive putts. And honestly, with him hitting just about every fairway, he missed one fairway all day. Really, the fact that he's only three under par can be a little bit of a surprise. And the fact that he had to make two 30-footers to be three under par. When he missed the one short putt and just laughed at himself, that was funny. But, with the way he has played this year, that's got to be a scary thing for the rest of the field.
Sure.
When he's tied for the lead after round one, because he leads the tour in scoring average in round three and leads the tour in scoring average in round four. So it's and I think he's like sixth or seventh in round two. So bit scary for the rest of the people that he is in the lead or tied for the lead after round one.
It was also funny that he got a chuckle out of the Philadelphia fans screaming about the Eagles will destroy his Cowboys when they meet on Thanksgiving Day.
The Philadelphia fans are they can be that way.
There's no protocol when it comes to Philadelphia fans, even out there on a golf course. Couple of other notes, two guys that unfortunately I had in my competition. Gotcha. I think I had Rory and DeChambeau for the Masters, and I got them back for the PGA Championship, and they've let me down. Well, Rory, of course, ended up winning the Masters, but DeChambeau has been in shambles, and he shot a 6 over 76. Rory shot a 4 over 74, got in trouble off the tee, finding the rough, and the rough was very penal, and then just didn't putt the ball well. So hopefully Rory can come back, or he could be gone for the weekend. DeChambeau's got a lot to make up because there's a lot of golfers in front of him. We'll give you updates periodically throughout the show, but should be a lot of fun this weekend with the PGA Championship. Once again, hour number one. Brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street. They got a big event coming up Saturday, May 23rd. That is a week from tomorrow. You're invited to Old Dominic's Crawfish Boil. Now, they had it scheduled for April. There was bad weather, so they moved it to May 23rd. Rock out the music by the Risky Whiskey Boys. Eat big and wash it all down with a craft cocktail or local beer. Old Dominic Distillery, May 23rd. Mark it down on your calendar. Come for the spirit, stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. Learn more at olddominic.com. When we come back, we learn more about the prep scene with John Varlas from the Daily Memphian. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn Broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today. Back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back. 7:28 is the time, just underway on this Friday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. We're halfway through the month of May. Man, oh man, time is flying. And right now, it's time to talk to John Varlas.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
He is John Varlas, the award-winning prep reporter for the Daily Memphian, but so much more. He is with us every single Friday. You can read all his terrific stories at the Daily Memphian. Follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. He is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis with two locations, the original in Collierville at 85 Market Street. You can call them at 901-316-5500 or in Cordova, Big Orange Road, 901-779-3176. Get your shot on at Shoot 360 Memphis. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning. How's it going, Greg?
Yeah, it's going well. I know you're busy running around. You always are, but man, at this time of the year, woo.
I'm busy, and Eli's over here freaking me out, staring at my water bottle.
Why?
I don't know. You're doing your lead in there, and I glance over, and Eli is appearing.
I'm just reading the nutritional facts of your. What is it? What is it called?
Essential water. The official bottled
water. It's distributed by Nestle, which I did not realize Nestle
was in the... It's got a little chocolate flair to it.
I did not know that Nestle was in the water business, quite frankly.
Essential is the official bottled water of the Daily Memphian Preps page.
It's a gigantic bottle of water.
Eli just threw me a little bit. So, yeah, how's everybody doing today?
Man, we're doing good.
Happy Friday. Next to the last Friday of the school athletic calendar, so... time is flying, just like you say, Greg.
So next Friday, you will be at Spring Fling?
I will be in Spring Fling in Murfreesboro.
All right. Well, a lot of good. You got a smile on your face. You're talking Nestle's and your big sponsor of the water. But always, John, we ask you first and foremost if there's a bone to pick.
Well, I'll keep it quick because we got so much newsy stuff to get into. But I'm still mad at myself for not wearing a hat at the track meet last Saturday. If you guys... look closely.
I noticed you're doing a little peeling.
Peeling all over the place.
You are peeling.
Like a lizard and itching like crazy. And you know, my wife said, well, be sure to take your hat. And I just nod and go on about my way and don't take my hat and stand out at a track meet last Saturday in the bright sunshine for, you know, 4 hours and come back red as a lobster. And I'm still regretting that decision. So one of these days I'm going to learn.
Sunscreen.
Yeah, sunscreen and a hat will help too. But
is your lovely wife a "see I told you so" person?
No, she's not.
Okay,
no, she's not. She just wants me to take care of myself.
Sure,
and she's trying to help me do that. And I don't do that a lot of the time, especially with the hat. So going forward, next week for Spring Fling, yes, Eli, plenty of sunscreen, plenty of hats, and hopefully. When you guys see me after that, I won't be, you know, shedding skin like a lizard all over the place.
Well, even a little burn and shedding skin looks better than Stuart Sink when he has the bald head and the hat, and then he takes it off, and it's, oh my gosh. You've seen that, right, Eli?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good look.
It's a battle for us bald folk. When you're out on the golf course, you gotta remember that you gotta take your hat off for a little while.
Right, gotta even it out.
You gotta battle out the half moon on the back of your head. There's a lot to be considered when you're a bald headed gentleman.
Well, that's true, John. Even though you burned a little bit on because you forgot the hat, weather wise, knock on wood, up until now. We haven't had a ton of really hot, oppressive days that you're out there dying. And usually we do. And the reason I know this is because I do the Memphis Tigers baseball games, as you know, at home. And we go through those, especially late in April and May. We did not have one of those games. Is that the feel you have because you're out so much for these prep games?
Yeah. No, weather's been great. I mean, and even we haven't had too much trouble with rain and rescheduling this spring either. We've been very fortunate. Now, kind of right on cue next week, I think it is supposed to rain some in the Murfreesboro area, and I think it's also going to be pretty warm as well. So there may be some issues with that next week in terms of scheduling and keeping the events on schedule. But yeah, Greg, like you said, it's been a very nice weather week. In fact, actually, I was a little, you know, towards the end of the baseball game I was at last night, I was a little cold. I was in my shorts and my short sleeves, but I was a little cold on, you know, heading towards 9 o'clock out there at Houston High.
So wow. Speaking of baseball, let's get into it. Where do things stand locally as far as the baseball teams go?
Well, we've got everybody almost in the clubhouse. Congrats to St. George's. They've qualified in Division 2A, the smaller of the two private school divisions. John Mungall, name you might be familiar with,
yes.
Greg Uniting, former Mississippi State mm-hmm. player, former Houston High standout, played for the great Ron Polk there at Mississippi State. He's second year over there at St. George's. He's got his guys in the state tournament for the first time in 9 years.
And great.
Really great, really good group over there, some talented dudes. They got two Division One guys, two Division One pitchers. Quinn Showalter is going to pitch at Virginia. Mason Woods, who's a junior, but he's committed to pitch to Kentucky. Senior-dominated team with some really good bats up and down the lineup. We actually had a story about them this week in the Daily Memphian. They're using some new technology, kind of analytics-based stuff that apparently has really helped their hitting. So they got six or seven guys hitting over 400, along with some terrific Jeez. Pitching. So it's a very good team. Pat on the back to yours truly. Apparently, 4 years or 3 years ago, when these guys were freshmen, somebody helped me remember that I had tweeted that this group, you know, has the potential to be really special when they're seniors. And you said that 3 years ago, and now they're seniors and they're close to fulfilling that potential. So how about that?
How about that? The key is the cap
to the prep writer.
Yes, the key is to throw out all that stuff years in advance and hope that you hit it one time with one team.
Well,
I'm kidding.
Well, no, but it's just a fun thing. But in fairness, you know, you could kind of see the potential of that group back then, and now the core are seniors. You know,
Showalter
and Rollin Crose and Hayden Redd and those guys. You know, they got some good young players too. Chancellor Shipp is a sophomore who's outstanding. He hit a home run in the deciding game the other night. So just a very, very good, well balanced team, and I think they'll do well next week. And
no kin of Buck Showalter, is it?
I don't believe so.
I mean, it's a very unusual name. That's the only reason I bring that up.
You know, I don't believe so. Okay. I've emailed back and forth with his dad, but he's never mentioned it. I don't think so. But congrats to St. George's, and congrats also to Houston. They advanced in the large public school division last night. They beat Clarksville 12-2. They run ruled them. They beat them. They actually run ruled them two nights in a row. So the bats are coming out at just the right time for Houston. And again, that's a very, very good team as well. Colin Bland going to Vanderbilt and Cannon Day, the sophomore who's, you know, outstanding. Everybody knows about Cannon. Isaiah Ludlow, Will Beasley. They've got some dudes on that team and some excellent pitching depth as well, which I think, you know, has a chance to really serve them well too. So congrats to Houston. Congrats to St. George's. And they can be joined by Collierville. They're playing the third game of their best of three series today in Dixon County. 3 o'clock first pitch for that one. And if Collierville wins, they will join Houston in the large public bracket. So let's hope Collierville can get it done, because it would be cool to have two local teams in the final eight.
Okay, so that was a final. I didn't know how many went.
Yeah.
So it's eight that go?
Double elimination. For the public schools, it's an eight-team double elimination baseball tournament. For the private schools, it's a four-team double elimination tournament.
Where does – if Collierville gets in and it's three, where does three normally fall?
It's about right.
It's about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Two would be a little bit under maybe?
It's hard to say, Greg.
Okay.
It's hard to remember year over year, but
sure.
You know, typically there will be a team in the large public school division, a Houston, a Collierville, an Arlington, perhaps, you know, even a Bartlett in years past, a Munford. So you can kind of count on one of those guys. You can usually count on Christian Brothers or Briarcrest being in the mix as well, even though neither one of those made it this year. And then you can typically count on one of the smaller privates, North Point, ECS, St. George's, somebody like that. So, yeah, three's about the right number, I would say.
Last year, Lakeland, of course, won it all. Was there anybody else that won it last year in baseball locally?
Ooh,
or was that the only champion?
You're testing my memory. I can't remember. I know I'm drawing a blank. I want to say Briarcrest. I can't remember when Briarcrest won. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. So I apologize.
Was that the first senior class for Lakeland?
This year's the first senior class.
Yeah, in Lakeland, it's interesting with Lakeland. They were in the smallest public school classification last year, and they won the state tournament. They moved up two spots this year to 3A, and they didn't make it. The competition was a lot tougher. So, yeah. But they're fine. I mean, that program continues to grow out there, not just baseball, but all Lakeland athletics. They've had some good tennis success this week in Chattanooga at Spring Fling Tennis. So, they keep doing good things over there at Lakeland.
So tennis is going on this week.
Tennis is going on this week, this morning as we speak. We've got three local kids competing for singles titles, Ivana Petkova of Lausanne in singles, Bo Schwerlock from MUS in boys singles, and then an eighth grader from Lakeland, a kid named Bram Mazrowski, has advanced to the finals as an eighth grader. So
holy cow.
He'll be playing for the championship today, too, in Chattanooga.
How does that happen, an eighth grader?
Well, you're allowed to play eighth grade in Tennessee. You can play on the varsity as an eighth grader if your middle school and your high school are on the same campus.
Wow.
So typically it's a private school thing, ECS, St. George's,
sure, they come North up to,
Point, you'll yeah. see kids on the varsity, eighth graders from time
wow,
to time.
Wow, my goodness, that's crazy. Playing yeah. for the title as an eighth grader.
Yeah, so we lots of luck to Bram and Ivana and Bo. We hope, they do well today. Singles competition going on tonight as we speak right now.
Real quick, what are the other sports schedules? So you got tennis going on right now.
Next week in Murfreesboro, you'll have, like we always do, baseball, softball, and soccer competition. Next week also will be track competition, but that will be separate. That'll be in Knoxville this year, which, as we've talked about, really, really, really complicates things for a lot of people, including yours truly.
Where is tennis?
They're right next to each other, though.
Tennis is being played in Chattanooga this week.
So you got Chattanooga, Knoxville, and Murfreesboro.
It's not like it's the tri-state area down. I mean, they are far from each other. Okay, quick question before we get back to the teams. And we'll talk about softball here in a second as well. You just rattled off a bunch of guys of the teams, just of the teams that are going to be in the Spring Fling. And you said, this guy's going to Vandy, this guy's going to, where's Day going to, Tennessee?
Well, he's only a sophomore.
Okay.
So he's not decided yet.
But then you named Kentucky. My question is this. You couple the Memphis kids with the North Mississippi kids, DeSoto County kids. If the bulk of those guys, and I know it's not going to happen, it's not going to ever happen, but if the bulk of those guys went to Memphis, would the University of Memphis be a perennial top 20 team in the country?
No, they wouldn't be. I mean, you need more than just a handful of local guys.
But it's more than a handful, isn't it?
Well, no, it's typically just a handful every year. But
okay,
and you need a lot for a baseball team. I understand your point, and if somehow the University of Memphis were ever to start making inroads with a lot of these baseball kids, but Greg, it's hard. I mean, what the facilities look like.
I'm just making the point of how talented this area is, because you'll see Ole Miss pluck a couple from the area. Mississippi State will pluck a couple from the area. Bama will. Tennessee, Vandy will. Arkansas will. Memphis will get a couple of guys. I mean, Memphis got some players right now playing great for them. Last night they qualified for the conference tournament on the shoulders of some local guys like James Smith, Tyler Harrington and company. I'm just saying, you put them all together year in and year out, it seems like that would be a really good. It's never going to happen. Don't get me wrong,
the guys you mentioned, that's probably the recipe going forward. Maybe if you sign with a larger program and it doesn't work out, then you're like James Smith and Tyler Harrington did, then you end up transferring back. That's probably the pathway to success.
I didn't mean this to be like a Memphis thing. I just brought up Memphis because I know Ole Miss already has their stars and they get the money. I just brought it up to bring up the point about this area. If all collectively played on one school.
Yeah, it's a talented baseball area.
Pretty damn good.
It really is.
All right, softball. How many? We know baseball is going to have minimum two, maybe three. What about softball?
Well, big congrats to Coach Johnny Sanfratello and the girls out at Tipton Rosemark. They uh, They went up to Knoxville in this week and won a 2 out of 3 series with Grace Christian. So they're back in the state tournament. I think it's the first time for them in 3 or 4 years. And, you know, really terrific group over there, too. Johnny Sanfratello does a very good job with his girls year in and year out. One of our best softball coaches and one of our best coaches, period. And, you know, Lainey Howe and the girls over there, I mean, it's a tremendously talented team. It's, you know, they got hitters, they got some pitching depth as well, and now that they've dropped back down to the smaller of the two private school classifications, I think that's helped them because they had moved up for a couple of years, and you're competing with your Chattanooga Baylors and those types in the state tournament, and now they've dropped back down, kind of where I think they fit a little better, and so I expect some good things from Tipton Rosemark this week, and to go to Knoxville and win 2 straight games in a, you know, in a winner take all series speaks volumes of the character of that group and kind of the mindset and the makeup. And I think they'll do well next week.
All right, we got a lot more to get to from the prep scene. If you got a question for John, hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Johnny V brought to you each and every week by the great folks at Shoot 360 Memphis. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. That's
me in the corner. Again, our thanks to Old Dominic Distillery, first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, and Shoot 360 Memphis, who sponsor the one and only John Varless. All right, JV, we've talked baseball, we've talked softball, soccer, boys soccer in the spring. Where do we stand as we get ready for teams, hopefully a lot of them, advancing to spring fling?
We got one more game left for everybody to qualify, either today or Saturday. Last night out at Collierville, congrats to Coach Gareth Monroe and his Dragons. Coach Monroe's an awesome guy, really is, really doing a terrific job with not only the boys but the girls too. I mean, very, very good coach and a really cool guy as well. Thanks to a goal from the impressively named Seamus Kratichville, they beat their arch rivals last night, Houston 1-0, so they win the region title, and that means that Collierville will host a sub-state game probably on Saturday, I would guess, against the runner-up out of Region 7. And that means Houston will have to travel to face the champion from Region 7. And the winner of those two matches will advance to the state tournament. I like both Collierville and Houston's chances to advance. Typically, the Region 8 teams are stronger than the Region 7 teams, you know, historically. So, and Collierville and Houston are both very good. So, I think they both have a chance to get to state. And farther down in the smaller, in Class A public schools, Memphis Business Academy beat Crosstown yesterday at Halley Stadium by the same 1-0 score. So Memphis Business Academy will host a sectional against Region 7 runner-up, and Crosstown will travel to face the champion, and the winners of those matches will advance to state. So 4 public schools still in it, and a lot of private schools still in it too. Christian Brothers playing at home tonight. If they win, they advance. Briarcrest on the road against Chattanooga Baylor. They can advance with a victory. And in the smaller of the 2 private school divisions, North Point, ECS, and St. George's are all alive, and
wow,
they can win and get in. So we root for all those teams. Hope there's a large soccer contingent next week for Memphis.
It's funny in the private schools because like a team from Memphis has to play a team from Chattanooga to advance to state.
Right.
Like, theoretically, when you're playing across the state, that should be the state tournament.
It should.
Like, it's funny in the private schools how much travel there is involved in these.
There is, and it makes it very hard, you know, too. And it's just, and it just shows how fine the margin is. You take you take Christian Brothers and Briarcrest, for example, if, you know, if the result had gone just a little bit differently in Briarcrest's favor, they'd be playing at home, and Christian Brothers would have to travel to face a very good Baylor team. Now Christian Brothers stays home. They play Brentwood on Brentwood Academy, which on paper is a much weaker opponent. I mean, you know, it just shows how fine the margins are.
And you mentioned what Tipton Rosemark softball, they had to play a team from Knoxville.
Yeah.
Traveled across the state just to advance to state.
Well, it's crazy. And you think about the track people. So they did the decathlon and the pentathlon this week. So you got Kari Webb from Collierville and Bryn Miller from Harding Academy, and the MUS guys, you know, they're doing pentathlon and decathlon. So they're traveling up to Knoxville for that. They go back home for a couple of days, and they got to go back up to Knoxville again next week.
But they just run to Knoxville and run back,
for the normal meet. Well, theoretically...
Only the cross-country runners.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
correct. That's right.
The sprinters. They
can't do it.
They barely get down I-40, and they're like, worn out.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's a different animal. But yeah, there's a ton of travel involved.
There sure
it
is.
It just makes it really hard for everybody.
Big state, for goodness sakes.
Well, it is.
All right, so you were on top of the Deron Sutton story from the beginning. It's official now. Deron's going from Ridgeway, where he'd been for a while, the head coach. He takes over at Germantown. So where does this put Gene Robinson? And what about, and we're, you know, look, hey, we're only a few months away from football getting cranked up.
Well, we are. And, you know, I hate to speculate, but if you're listening to this program, you know, you probably know that when Coach Salisbury left Whitehaven, they decided to go with Stan Collins, who's, a legend. I mean, you know, the field is named after him at Whitehaven. Great career, you know, good man, but he hadn't coached in 30 years, and you know, he's getting up there in age now. So they go in and they make that hire, and you kind of say, well, you know, what's the thinking there? And now, now that Coach Robinson has left Germantown officially, you know, people will put two and two together and try to get to four, but. You know, we'll know what happens when it happens. But, you know, as of right now, Deron Sutton is going to coach Germantown next year. He's reunited with his principal, and you know, those two have a really good working relationship going back years and years. And you know, a lot of respect for Coach Sutton. He's a guy that came in from Georgia to play football at the University of Memphis, and he's made Memphis his home. You know. Good success at Kingsbury, a school that's not had, you know, hardly any success at all in terms to speak of in football. And then he moved on to Ridgeway and had even more success there. You know, a couple of state semifinal teams, you know, coached some of the best players that's ever come out of this area. Jalen Walton, you know, Sheldon Dawson, Brandon Lewis. I mean, those are guys he sent to the SEC, you know, very, very talented guys. The athletes kind of dried up there at Ridgeway over the last few years, but I don't think that takes anything away from Coach Sutton's coaching abilities, and it's going to be fun to see what he does at Germantown in 6A, and, you know, matching wits with the guys at Southwind and
And Whitehaven.
So you definitely circle that game on your calendar for next year as well.
Yeah, that is obviously, as you said, the athletes kind of have dried up a little bit at Ridgeway, gets more of that, but also the competition you're stepping into, that is a brutal division.
It is. It's a tough, you know, 6A football in Memphis is tough. It's going to be, you know, probably tougher than ever this year. But yeah, Coach Sutton's a good man. I think you judge a person based on the reaction to news about them from their peers. And, you know, when I posted the story in the news yesterday about Coach Sutton, you see coach after coach after coach, you know, saying what a good guy he is, what a deserved opportunity he is, that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, speaks a lot to his reputation and kind of the relationships he's built in the community.
You mentioned the high level and the high caliber of high school football in Memphis. And certainly I brought this up in our first segment. We were talking about the NFL schedule reveal. And when you read the big story on ESPN and they talk about some of the big games to look out for, and the first game they talk about is Seattle, the defending Super Bowl champions, and Kansas City. And it's all about Kenneth Walker III, who is now a chief running back, and he's highlighted, and he came from Arlington High School. So just a real cool thing to be able to read that.
Well, it's very cool, and the thought just popped into my head, you know, there's going to be so much talk next year, and deservedly so, when LSU plays Ole Miss, you know, because of all the Lane Kiffin stuff, and, you know, not in any way comparing, you know, Gene Robinson's situation to what Lane Kiffin did, because, you know, Lane Kiffin's a moron and Gene Robinson's not. But there's going to be – I think there's going to be a similar amount of passion and interest when Germantown and Whitehaven next year, for sure.
That's a good point.
It's always a backyard brawl anyway kind of thing, and now with the coaches moving back and forth, you know, apparently –
Lane
it's
Kiffin
be very
did something, or did he say something to make Ole Miss people mad?
He shook up the status quo this week, Eli.
We also have a former Briarcrest player who's now going to be going to playing at UConn in basketball.
Yeah, Jay Nash. It was a lot of fun to catch up with Jay this week. Kind of had lost touch with him because he played 3 years at Briarcrest, and then it's interesting, he moved down to Georgia for his senior year of high school. He played on the same team as Ace Bailey down at McEachern High School in Georgia. And
they produce a lot of athletes.
They do. He signed with Tulsa out of high school. Didn't work out there. He transferred to Jacksonville State and then got in the transfer portal again. Next thing you know, he's on a Zoom call, Greg, with your Maryland Terrapins. And then UConn comes calling, and it's like, okay, you know, here UConn, I mean, this is the best of the best. Yeah. So it was really interesting to talk to Jay and kind of get his impressions on how that all came about and what he's looking forward to up there. I mean, and it's a situation where he knows he's going in there to kind of be a depth piece and compete for playing time and all that. But, you know, it's a chance to learn. It's a chance to learn from Dan Hurley. Yeah. It's a chance to be in that environment with all those great players and playing all those big games and be a part of that. You know, he'll have a front row seat to, you know, one of the greatest shows in college basketball. And I think he values that as a learning experience. And it's a tremendous opportunity for a young man, and Jay's just a great kid too, off the floor. So I think that kind of plays into it. So we're happy for him, and it was good to catch up with him. And you can see that story on the Daily Memphian prep page as well.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Jay. Again, this guy over here, John Varless, will have you covered with all things preps. Spring Fling next week, he'll be in Murfreesboro, but he'll be on the program calling in from, you know, his beautiful estate. They rent him out a beautiful estate for the week. Really, really nice servants, all that, butlers. It's going to be a fun time for you, John, as always.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you as always. I'm going to give a shout out to Coach Paul Edwards at Southwind, a loyal listener to this Friday segment. And I told him I'd shout him out this week, and I just now remembered to do that. So I hope he stuck with us for the whole 30 minutes.
Varless shout-outs. New segment, Varless shout-outs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout-out Coach Edwards.
We'll have to get a sponsor for that. Of course, John Varless's overall segment is brought to you by the folks at Shoot 360 Memphis. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
He is John Varless from the Daily Memphian. Catch him every single Friday. We'll take a timeout. Hour two on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.